Jay, John, get, Ken, not, L, I. He always gets real talkative during this show. L, I, S. John can't listen because he doesn't have a modem for his computer. But he just put out the word that he doesn't have any money either.
Yeah.
And so he just put out the word that he needed a modem. And this one guy that John is helping to kind of get his music thing together, turns out he refurbishes and sells computers.
Oh, wow.
So he's sending John a modem.
Now, he lives in Richmond, California now, right?
Yes. He's based in New York. New York State, but he's out here, I don't even know, like indefinitely or something.
Cool.
Yeah. But he was excited about you being on the show.
Cool.
He asked if he could stand out on the sidewalk and listen, since he doesn't have a modem. And Giovanni Moro, he's one of our DJs. He said that he's met you a few times. You performed at his warehouse space. So he wasn't sure if you performed there or if you were just there.
It could be. I played a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, and he had met you, so he was happy to hear you. We had connected up with you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. S. So, you are the 0. You are the 1. No, you are the 0, 0, V, E, R, version of the F, O, L, folk, S, I, singer, the 0, 0 version, the 0, 0 version of the folk singer. Is that it? What's that? That 2, 0, 0, 0, 2, oh, the 2000.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the 2000. The 2000. Oh, because instead of saying 99, 98, he just said 0, 0.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
The 0, 0, the 2000 version of the folk singer. All. Why? Why?
Why do I do it?
Yes. Or why? Is that it? Yes. Why do you do it?
Oh, let's see. It kind of happened by accident, actually. I used to write a lot of the music for the punk bands I was in. And one day I wanted to play a show and I wasn't in a band, so I called a friend of mine who was booking a club and said, hey, you know, let me come down some night. I'm going to play some songs. And I went down, played in front of just your basic punk audience, did what I'm doing now, and they loved it. So I decided that it was a lot more fun to play by myself than it was with other people. So
yes.
A lot more freedom.
Yes.
To do what I want to do.
D S. So why are you A N G angry?
No.
You don't seem
angry.
Angry.
Oh, there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of stuff to be angry about. And I think people are just way too placid about a lot of things that are going on. Everything from all the shootings in the schools to a lot of this stuff going on with the government right now. There's just so much homelessness, more than I've ever seen in my life. just the poverty that people are in. The division between rich and poor is getting worse all the time. Labor unions are being crushed all over the place. I mean, there's just so many things that I think if you, for me, expressing it with anger gets people to pay attention. And then hopefully they'll go back and read the lyrics when it's over.
Oui. Get a lot. We get a lot of that P, a lot of that O, out on Lover.
Cool.
A lot of that information. Yeah.
Cool.
But it P I pisses some people off.
Good.
Like B A N bands who D R E A dream of M making it. They don't want to see O N connect the dots.
Yeah. A lot of bands just try and play it safe. And the music is so homogenized. I mean, there's very little. A lot of the modern music I hear coming out today is so. It's so watered down. And there's no message. And it's rather depressing, to be honest. I've actually had numerous death threats. Just for, I mean, a lot of it for being political and actually expressing opinion.
Wow. What did you expect? No, what did you express?
Just the normal stuff I sing about. I did a show at Gilman with Jello Biafra about 2 years ago, and it was just the two of us, and I think the night before the show, somebody called my phone and left a bomb threat on my answer machine, going that if this show happens, Gilman will go up at midnight. It's like, and a lot of people just don't want to hear it. A lot of people want to live in their dreams and don't want to accept that anything is out there except
yes.
The reality they see it.
Yes. We were at a J E Jello Biafra.
The Dead Kennedys anniversary thing.
That was the thing you were talking about the other day? Yeah, that was like in the 80s somewhere.
Late 80s, early 90s.
He, Jay, just, S, T, S, T, A, started his S solo, and now S spoken word. He had just started his spoken word thing. And he started, I don't even remember what he was talking about. Do you remember what
the subject was? The stuff he talks about.
Yeah, it was just
real pointed.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's very real. Yeah,
and everybody was there at a party. This was supposed to be a party.
Yeah.
It was a big event, but everybody was there at a party, and they started, like, you know, what, kind of, telling him to shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm finding a lot these days, even in the punk rock movement, is the left wing has become very reactionary in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Because people want, you know, they've been radical for a little while, now they want things to be safe. and even a lot of punk rock has decided this is what punk rock is supposed to be. This is what it's supposed to sound like. These are what you're supposed to sing about. And you have bands like Blink 182 up there singing about, you know, getting drunk and making crank phone calls, which is not very
I get that all the time. Yeah. They don't want the B O A, the boat,
rocked.
To be rocked. They want to L O look R. They want to look radical.
Mm-hmm.
But not actually be radical. Yeah.
It's true.
Like L A last week. It was last week. This is the guest. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Oh. With Dan Madsen? No.
No.
Who
was the guest last week? No, not the guest. What are we talking about? He's not slamming the guest. K. A. No, K. A. Cathode ray. Oh, that whole thing. Do you know the cathode ray site on the internet?
No.
It's supposed to be like a do-it-yourself focus, is centered on do-it-yourself stuff, and it's like it's a business site, though, really, and
right.
it's there's a lot of money stuff involved. It's like how to make money and not be with a major label. We will T E A teach you how to M A how to make it
market yourself.
How to market yourself.
Mm. How to put a website together. Also.
For money. So, actually, Frank realized that he had been getting their newsletter for quite a while and just treating it as junk mail and deleting it. But then he got this thing saying, apparently they had put us on their links thing. And we got this letter saying that we have upgraded our site. And so now you can't have a link on our page unless you give us a link. And you have 5 days to do it. And we're going to be checking every site.
Oh, man.
See, isn't that obvious that that's not right?
That's pretty funny.
It is a R E A required. They said it is now a requirement that you link us.
Wow.
So Frank just called them on it.
Yeah.
You know, he said, you're following the corporate model. How about doing it the way everybody does it? We'll link you, you link us. You know. And he said, at some point, he said, you know, they don't even have any flair, because what they could do is, if they really felt that way, they could go and check and take you off kind of quietly.
Yeah.
They don't have to kind of make this, like, big announcement and stuff. Crazy. It's, like, uncool to do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that kind of started this whole thing, because he's saying, this is, like, a really big deal. This is fascist. This is following the corporate model.
Oh,
this,
it is.
And,
yeah.
And you're calling yourself, like, a do-it-yourself kind of a thing. And, you know, and they keep writing them back, but they keep saying stuff like, we don't have time for this. You might think it's a big deal, but we don't think it's a big deal. What part of this don't you understand? Just take our link off. And it, you know, it went on and on and on. And, you know, it and it's making a lot of the bands, because, of course, Frank forwards everything he writes to everybody. So right. It goes out to hundreds of people. And a lot of the people are the very people that they're going right. for. And so they started to realize that this might get them in trouble. They always want to... keep it private. So the fact that Frank was sending it out to everybody pissed them off.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's what we thought too.
I mean, that's what gets things done, you know.
Yes. The disturbing part is that some of the bands, you know, well, they don't like that Frank is doing this.
Yeah.
It's making everybody uncomfortable.
Well, I played a show with a band the other day, and I won't say who it was, but I was talking to one of the musicians, and he said, you know, I just can't imagine why people play punk rock anymore, because there's nothing to be angry about. And I was like, whoa!
Whoa.
You know, I mean...
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to be angry about. It's
wow.
Like,
wow. Know,
I mean, they're still exercising the demon homosexuality out of kids, you know, it's like, the boot camps are putting children in these days to try and cure them, you know, I mean, just all the insanity goes on and on and on. It's, you know, Clinton did more for Reagan than Reagan ever did for himself. I mean, we have two right-wing candidates for president. It's kind of like, how right do you want to go?
Yes.
You know? And
yes. A million dollar bail for the guy in Philadelphia. What's his name? The guy, forget his name. From the Ruckus Society.
Mm-hmm.
He was, they arrested him before anything happened. And set his bail for $1 million. And the thinking is that they, you know, that they knew they wanted to get all the people that they thought were important to the demonstrate the radical
right.
contingent, and get them in jail and keep them in jail through the Democratic convention.
Oh.
And so he did nothing, and they set $1 million bail, which
to make
you know,
sure that
he didn't get out. He's from Berkeley.
Oh.
He was. Walking down the street, talking on his cell phone. They said he had a weapon on him. All he had was his cell phone, and there was some other thing, like a pager or something.
No, it's like the guy who got shot in New York for pulling out his wallet.
Yes.
I mean, it's...
Yes.
Yeah, like the shirt I'm wearing a verbal abuse t-shirt, and it's an old band from the area, and Nikki Sickie's in prison right now, facing 3 strikes, the singer. And it's around drugs, and he's looking at... spending 25 years to life because someone in the house he was in had drugs. He didn't even have them on him. It wasn't even drugs that he was doing. And they're in the final, you know, stages of trying to figure out whether or not he's going to have another chance at life. And, I mean, it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying.
But what are you angry about? What's your problem?
That I have to drink diet soda, that's it. That's enough to piss anybody off.
That is G E N E T genocide? No, genetic? No, G-E-N, genetic?
Genetically engineered?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
drinking diet coke that's genetically engineered. That'll piss you off.
I'll probably wake up tomorrow growing tomatoes on my hair or something.
Can we H. Here. What. You. Are. Angry about. Do you want him to do a song? Yeah.
Want me to do a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Mikey?
Do I take this off?
Yeah.
He's going to use your mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Recently I saw some video where they were actually showing Klan activity in the 1980s when Reagan was president. And they were showing a bunch of workers out protesting. And they all had signs saying, kill the Klan, scum of the land, and stuff like that. And basically harmless, nothing more than signs. And the video shows about 8 Klansmen getting out of 2 different cars. And... well, every one of them had guns. They had opened fire on these people. They killed 4 or 5 of them and wounded a whole bunch. And in court, it was thrown out, even with the video testimony. And they were all acquitted, saying it was self-defense. So, that's just a little modern activity for us. Are we ready? Okay.
This one's for 3 civil rights workers. This one's for the 4 little girls. This one's for all those hung and whipped. This one's for all the workers they shot. Kill, 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 kill the man. Kill, 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 kill the man. Kill, 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 kill the man. Before they kill you.
I, but still. everything is G. Everything is great. But the everything is great. The E, the economy is great. The S, T, O, the stock market is way up. The C, O, M, S, C-O-M-S, comms, R, oh, the commies, no, the comms, oh, the dot-coms,
yeah.
The dot-coms are doing great. B, U, Y, buying, U, buying up. S, San Francisco. So, R, E, L, A. So relax.
Well, I was at a party about a week ago, and the topic of the conversation was just about everybody at the party was losing their home. Because they were renters and the landlords decided it would be a good time to sell. So half my friends are looking at being homeless in the next month, thanks to the wonderful economy. And it's just, I don't know. The more I talk about it, the more things I can think about to get angry about. Most of my friends in San Francisco have already lost their homes. And sometimes when I walk down Market Street at night in San Francisco, every single doorway is somebody's home now at night. There's more homeless. It's frightening to see how many people are out on the streets, and it's everybody. It's you know, men, women, children. It's every race, every age, every.
But W I L Willie Brown Will. Get that them O off the street, O U, out
of town.
Out of town.
Yeah, he's doing a good job so far.
We will be at a demonstration on the 15th. It's organized around a couple of art spaces that are getting evicted. In San Francisco. And 848 Community Space.
Oh, wow.
So they're organizing a thing on the streets. I will sing. Frank's going to sing Homeless, the Curtis Mayfield song. Cool. That's what he's doing. But S, I, sing more. But okay. Sing more.
I was saying a song called Postal. And it's just an expression of what it's like to feel like everything's against you, the world's against you, and you're back up against the wall and you don't know where to turn. And unfortunately in this country it's something people do a little too often.
I've had all I can think I can't take anymore of it. All I can think I can't take anymore of it. All I can think I can't take anymore of it. All I can think I can't take anymore. No one's better than against the wall. Come around, grand to escape. Push the edge of the ocean. One more is all I've ever been. All I can think I can't take anymore of it. All I can think I can't take anymore of it. All I can think I can't take anymore of it. All I can think I can't take anymore. Come around, grand to escape. Come around, grand to escape. Better than everyone to myself.
P-H-I-L, Philadelphia. No, P-H-I-L, Phil. Phil Oaks. K, killed himself because he, T, H, he thought, P, R, O, T, E, protest. No, no one cared anymore. But we always need an angry V voices that are O U out are outraged by what is happening. Have you heard of P. Phil Oaks?
I've heard the name. It's
J. E. Jello. Jello Biafra does some of his songs.
Oh.
The, Love Me, Love Me, Love Me, I'm a Liberal. That song, that's a Phil Oaks song.
That's great.
What are your influences?
Well, the Kennedys are an influence. The Dicks, early SF punk band. Gary Floyd now sings with a band called Black Collie Mountain Town. I learned to play off Neil Young's Easy Guitar Anthology. Oh God, my influences are just so diverse. There's so much I like, so much has influenced me. It's hard, I could go on for hours.
The M, the Mabuhay, D, Days. We did a show at the Mabuhay for 3.5 years, the Outrageous Beauty Review. We were the Saturday Night Early Show.
Uh-huh.
So we like opened for all the punk bands.
Right.
And that was like in the late 70s. Started in 78.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. S-I-S-O-S-I-N since G sing more.
Okay. Just a little song this year. I'll sing a happy song now. Something about me and a meter maid.
Okay. Just gonna sing a happy song now.
It's called The Law.
Hey, officer, stop by right here. I'm at a meter, see?
Yes, but the sign says no park between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Yeah, but the sign's covered in stickers. I can't read it, can you?
No, that doesn't matter. There's one down the block, and it's The Law. law? Well, hey, you can just let me go this time. It's still a big deal, right? No, it is a big deal because it's the law. It's the law? Well, see, I'm from Oakland. In Oakland, they just be like, hey, take off, man. It's no big deal. Well, this isn't Oakland. It's L.A. Here's your ticket and have a nice day. Oh, gee, thanks. What happens if I can't pay it, though? Oh, you'll pay it because it's the law. It's the law? Fuck the law. A little feel-good song for people. that's actually a true story. Do another one for you real quick. This one's called American Flag. And it's about... I went to a punk show a little while ago, and there are all these people wearing... All these punks wearing, like, American flags. Really proudly, and it was... I felt more like I was in a patriotic skinhead, you know, Nazi skinhead convention than I was a punk rock show. It was, it gave this feeling like everything is perfect, everything's okay, we have nothing to be angry about, so let's salute the flag. And, yeah, it's a little Heil Clinton. And, so anyway, this song was written out of the anger of seeing that, so. Wearing your American flag, so probably I'll be wearing mine. Upside down protest, as is my right. Down protesting, homeless in struggles, violence every day. America looks like a nation under siege, police and opponents on a dangerous crying to citizens, hitting more guns to keep them down. I don't need no government to protect me from myself. Tax almost everything I do. I was actually inspired a little bit by a night I spent walking down Telegraph in Berkeley putting up flyers one night. And every corner of that street had a cop on it. There was like 10 o'clock at night. There were no people except cops and me with my flyers. And I was afraid to put them up because it was like, I thought, well, maybe Berkeley passed another flyer ordinance or something this week so that I'm going to be in more trouble this time. You know? So...
My, we do flyering. Yeah, I mean that's the only way that we let people know that we're doing something is by flyering.
Yeah,
and so we've been doing it for a long time.
Well, there was a club in San Francisco I played a while ago that I actually had to sign a release that if the police came to the club because of my flyers, I would have to pay a $500 fine, and they made me sign that before I played. Because they had been paying fines almost weekly for a couple months
because the police said that their flyers were littering the neighborhoods and that they should stop flyering. And that went on for a while, where a lot of the clubs in San Francisco were really, they were actually scared and asking bands not to flyer. And finally, the flyering got so much, and the cops found something else to, someone else to abuse. That was about a year and a half ago.
I H E I heard they R E P repealed that law, the anti-flyering law in San Francisco. Yes. But the CO, the cops, S, still, P, R, E, pretend that it's a law.
Yeah.
They use, like, intimidation. They use intimidation.
They're good at that.
Yes. Yes. It's not unusual. Corey and Alexi do our flyering for them to come back with stories about running into cops or running into people that threaten to call the cops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Flyering has become almost a guerrilla activity, because it's, I find that when I actually do go and flyer, I'm very careful that I usually have a person watching with me for cops, because it just, you know, I mean, anytime you don't, my rule with cops is just remain invisible, and anytime you don't have to be hassled, don't. So.
How do you do that? How do you do that? Yes.
One person flyers and one person watches.
W. I. With. That. S. H. I. Shirt.
Watch the shirt.
There is a W A R a war G going on A N A against the C O U N counter culture.
Yeah.
S T R street musicians are, we have a lot of street musicians that are guests, and they all have the same story about getting hassled, that it's harder to play music on the street.
Yeah.
Even though they have people that want to hear. And we had this guy, Big Willie, who plays big black blues musician, who's been playing at the place where the cable cars
I think Powell or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. For years and years, he's got a regular audience. You know, people come there to listen to him. And it's stuff like the cops saying, well, you can't be here. You know, you have to move down the street. And it's, you know, they just try to make it real unpleasant.
Yeah, when I, the last, actually, it's, they're even doing it to the clubs. The last time I played the Coco Club in San Francisco, we actually, the club told us, you really have to keep the volume down because
that's
somebody,
what happened at Kimo's.
Somebody moved in above, check this out though, they've been playing live music there for a couple of years.
Yes.
Somebody moved upstairs who didn't like the live music.
Wow.
What the fuck are they doing moving
right
above
a club?
You know, it's like,
right, the club was there first.
Yeah.
The last...
Is Chemo still doing shows?
Or? Yeah, we just played at Chemo's.
Yeah.
Like, week and a half, two
They're
weeks ago.
They're getting hassled, too?
Yeah, they stopped the band. The band, the last band, was right after us. They were, like, 20 minutes into their set. And they had to close the club down. They said that people on the street were complaining about the noise.
Oh, man. I had another street already.
M. I D midnight. Yeah, it wasn't even that late. Yeah. It was like midnight on the Thursday night.
Yeah.
And this is like a club. So, you know, how many, if they keep doing stuff like that, it seems like it's going to be harder and harder. Bands aren't going to want to play there if they get canceled a few times.
Yeah.
This band, you know, drove from a long way to get there.
You know, like Sacramento.
From Sacramento is bungworm.
It's just crazy, though. I mean, like, I was, I wanted to, when my CD came, my first CD came out, I wanted to do a release at the White Horse on I think it's on Telegraph.
And
they had recently got a neighbor who moved in who lived across the street down the block who was complaining about their music. And he said, you know, we'd really like to have you do this. It'd be really fun. It'd be a different thing for the club. But we can't because we have one person down the block. None of the people that are right around him are complaining. One person down the block. You can't even hear the music outside.
And it's not even a residential area, is it?
I don't know. I mean, there's just businesses up and down the whole street,
right,
you know.
Right.
So yeah.
That is what I mean by a war against the counterculture.
Yeah.
But be a bands say everything is going great.
And where are their venues? Why are they all trying to get the same gig on the same night in the same clubs? I mean, God, so much has closed down. There's one club left on Haight Street. You know, the Nightbreak is gone. I mean, the Nightbreak doesn't even exist anymore where there was a club. The I-Beam is gone. The Chameleon shut down. Cocodrie shut down this last weekend.
Wow.
I mean, all that's left is Bottom of the Hill, which is a nice club, but it's more out of town, bigger rock bands. The Paradise, which not many bands can get into. Tip Top, which, you know, doesn't have the greatest reputation with bands. And I mean, it's just, you know, there's not a lot. But the nice thing is Oakland is really having a resurgence because, you know, this is where a lot of the musicians who play in San Francisco actually live here. And so a lot of clubs, a lot of stuff is popping up in Oakland.
But, Oakland is N-E next. You think Oakland is next?
Oh, yeah.
They, in fact, L, it, has S-T
it's already started.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the situation in Oakland is really getting bad because the rents, almost to the minute Jerry Brown, I had a friend working on Jerry Brown's campaign. I begged him to stop. I said, don't do the, you know, then it was like, after that I said, please don't vote for the Stormy Mayor Initiative. And everybody just gave him everything he wanted. And one of the first things that happened when he became mayor was there was a marine amphibious landing on Jack London Square that no one knew about, and people were shopping and just doing their normal thing, and all of a sudden, Jack London Square is covered with marines and machine guns, and it's like, I actually know a shop that's down in that area where he told them to take the gate off their building. He said, I don't want gates around my city hall because it's safe here, and they've been broken into 3 times since it happened. You know, it's just a small business, and, you know, and a man's a...
We were T.A. talking to a P.E.R. performer, performance artist. Performance D S space in Oakland about we actually got booked in this space. This is a small place on Telegraph down in Oakland, and all of a sudden we get a call and say, I just got thrown out. So I can't even honor the performances I've booked. We were booked like in October, I think, you know, to perform in October.
The thing is that I really think that the whole .com thing will start dying out again soon. I mean, that's my hope. And that these people are going to start phasing out again. But you just never know.
Yes. But that may take a while. May take 2 years.
But, yeah, it may take a lot of people with it. So, but,
R. I. Richmond. May. Be the next, the N, the new, A, artist, town.
Yeah. I don't think with Richmond's, I don't want to live so close to the oil refineries.
Right. Doesn't want to live so close to the oil refineries.
Some scary stuff.
But that is what people, what P R O T protects Richmond.
Yeah. Because we're all going to die of something, so.
The Y U, the yuppies, don't want to live close to the oil refineries either. And I would T.A. take the oil refineries. You would take them
over the yuppies.
Over the yuppies.
Yeah.
Where do you perform?
Where do I perform? Well, I just played the Paradise last Saturday, actually. That was a lot of fun. And I used to play at the Night Break, and I used to play at the Chameleon, and I used to... no, I played a lot of different places. I'm actually doing a show. Oakland's Gay Pride is happening on September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And I'm going to be playing one of those days and booking a couple stages of stuff for it. So it's going to be... that's going to be a lot of fun. So, I play the Star Club, and just a lot of things around the area. Played up and down the coast again.
The Star Club, A, almost got closed.
Yeah. Now, the story goes that when Jerry Brown was running for mayor, he showed up one night. I don't know if you heard this, and there was a $5 cover that there always is, and they didn't know who he was. And he said, well, you should let me in because I'm Jerry Brown, former governor of California, running for mayor of Oakland. And they said, well, then you definitely have the money to pay. And that was the wrong thing to say to him. So I think he had a pretty major resentment, though. The last time the Star Club thing came up, I heard also that he's trying to change his thing so that people like him now. It's, you know, he's a chameleon. You know, I think this is his last ditch for president. I think he goes, if I can make Oakland safe for white yuppies, I can make America safe for it. And that's his, I think he's using this as his last stepping stone to president. But I remember back when it was the 92 elections, I was watching Donahue one day. And they had the presidential candidates on there. They had Jerry Brown, a number of other people I don't recall, and they had... Senator McCarthy from Minnesota. And the question Donahue asked him, he said,
what do you think's the worst thing about the country? And right away, Jerry Brown was going, and just double-speaking himself to death, and making no sense, and making everybody feel really good about themselves, because whatever the problem was had nothing to do with those people in the audience or anybody listening. And halfway through his spiel, Senator McCarthy said, "Shut up." And Jerry Brown, what? He said, "You heard me, shut up." And Donahue was like, "Whoa. Did you just tell Jerry Brown to shut up?" He's like, "Yeah, I told him to shut up." He's like, "Okay, what do you think is the main problem with this country?" And they said, "It's simple. It's ignorance and greed." And the crowd was booing and hissing, and they were so angry. And Donahue quieted the crowd, and they said, "Okay," and in a rather, a little bit condescending, goes, "And then what would you do about it?" He said, "Well, the first thing I'd do is tax the rich." So there's a lot of old money in this country that's not doing anything, that's not helping anybody, and we need to get it back in the country. Then I would start taxing the corporations again. And he just went on. But you know what? The crowd hated him for saying that. And I've come up with a theory, and I call it the millionaire's disease. And it's something that almost every American is infected with. We're infected with it at birth. The belief that someday that rich person who's abusing us will be us. You know, and it's a nonsense that is fed into every little American baby. And most of the immigrants that come into this country is someday you'll have your chance. And that makes everything the rich people do okay.
That is what the B.A. the bands. That's what they've got in their head.
That's the disease they have.
Yes. And even the A, the artists.
Oh, yeah. It's a hard thing to escape. It's the American dream. It's the thing that we're all offered up. It's the American lie.
When I P O I pointed out 98% of M U musicians are and artists don't make any money.
It's true.
I and they could and they should not make money. That pissed a lot of people off. It is what the C O M B, what the combine H O O hooks the artists in on that they should make money off of their art, their music, if they don't make money. They are F.A. failing. and are getting are ripped off.
Yeah, the irony of it is your chances of winning the lottery are better than becoming a rock star. Yeah, most of these bands cling on to that hope, and they sacrifice their music, they sacrifice so much for very little.
Mm. Michael that's here doing the stuff, he was the lead singer for Counting Crows when Frank met him.
Oh, wow.
And, and look at him now. He was, you know, slim and had a yuppie haircut. Uh-huh. And you know, he was basically yuppie in a yuppie band. Bill Graham was their manager.
Like the yuppie in a yuppie band. That's a yeah. Song. I'm just a yuppie in a yuppie band.
And one of his groupies was studying with Frank.
Uh-huh.
And so she would show him the stuff Frank wrote,
yeah.
You know, about all this kind of stuff we're talking about in life. And right. He was like, whoa, all of a sudden, you know, everything started to click for him because he was already not that happy.
Yeah.
You know, he was actually coming from a place of artistry and you know, just kind of, as he says, like, just fell on the treadmill.
Yeah.
You know?
There's like a track you can jump on that's like waiting for you. You don't even have to
Don't
even know you're jumping on it, but you do, you know, just... Yeah. And then you're like, all your thoughts are kind of given to you. Everything you can talk about is kind of like suddenly there to say.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a weird thing, but yeah.
But when he would come up with ideas of, you know, he'd have ideas for what the band should do.
Yeah.
Like, one of our shows, it was like, whoa, and quit the band. And this was right as they were making it, because they were called Mr. Dog.
Uh-huh.
And then when they were interviewed in Rolling Stone, what they said was their lead singer, right as they were ready to make it, quit and joined a cult. And they, you know, they never got it. So, you know, they didn't understand why he would do that. But we... H. J. Just. P. A.
Paid off the lawyers.
We just paid off the lawyers. Like a year ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
What happened is that, you know, they had, like, one of the guys had a cousin who was an attorney, so he was kind of doing their law stuff. So Bill Graham says, oh, no, you have to have this attorney, this fancy-dancy attorney in Beverly Hills, which is hooked into Bill Graham, a music attorney. So then they have to kind of hawk their whole future to pay off this attorney, so that they can, the attorney can negotiate with Bill Graham, even though they're all kind of one
horrible.
Thing.
The the whole major label thing is such a scam these days because, I mean, I remember a while back I was hearing like a lot of these rap bands, like these young kids, were getting signed, getting 1% royalties. And they signed it because they were given $10,000 up front, they could put on some gold chains and press it up front and say, I'm on a label. And they've just been locked in for the next 10 years. And a lot of the contracts, I mean, you're probably familiar with it, is just $100,000 to record and all this crap. And you're paying for the album. And
right, you pay for everything.
Yeah, it's not like it was in the good old days. You know.
And you get, you know, this much percentage royalty.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when Michael Jackson was going to get $2 off every album. And that was considered a really big deal because... Everybody else gets about a dollar an album and splits it all these different ways. And I mean, CDs are cheaper to make than albums are. CDs are costing them probably about a quarter a piece at the mass production level they're making.
Right.
And they're selling them for $15. You know, it's outrageous. And the band is seeing a dollar if they're lucky. You know?
And they N-O now... C, E,
sensor.
The no, what's
they're bleeping
the
CD.
Yeah, my first CD actually.
Right.
The day it was supposed to arrive, I got a phone call, letting me know that the manufacturer refused to print press it because they considered the material in it too offensive. So the people I had doing the work actually started calling around. They found somebody in Canada who would do it. And they actually faxed the lyrics ahead and said, please read the lyric sheet to make sure that this is something, because it wound up costing me like an extra $300-$400.
Wow. It's funny, I've seen a lot of CDs that are made in Canada recently.
Huh.
Yeah, because they're just much more tolerant than America. I mean, and ironically, the company that refused it had a contract with Disney to not produce any... If that's how it turned out, they had a contract with Disney not to produce anything offensive. And it's But then I turned around and heard that Disney is the main purveyor of porn in Europe. Go figure. You know, I mean, nothing is ever what it seems. You know, it's like, I guess in Europe, the mouse takes his pants off, you know.
P.L. Porn is S.A. safe. What do you mean? The industry or the content? C.O. Content. Oh, you think the content of porn has gotten safer than no?
I can actually.
It's just like kind of mainstream. Like
porn is mainstream.
It's just kind of everybody's seen it.
I see.
What it is.
I see.
In Europe, people are a lot more tolerant to sex. In this country, sex is still a very Puritan thing.
Right.
But I actually have a friend who is starting up a company making religious dildos. And he's offending a lot of people.
But
it's
you're
wonderful.
Saying, like, porn doesn't challenge the power structure, whereas something you're doing does challenge the power structure.
Right.
So it's safe in that way. It's kind of part. It has its little slot. It fits.
Yeah. Well, in most of these bands, too, I mean, the thing that they don't realize is that, I mean, Counting Crows is one of the lucky ones. Most of them become tax write-offs. A lot of bands, you know, that's... The band still owes the label the money. But the label didn't do anything with the bands, and they're just sitting there, and these poor kids think that they've just, you know, somehow made it big, and what they've done is destroyed any chance they ever have of being musicians.
And they can not do things,
anything,
right?
No.
Like, they can... Not S E
sell.
Sell? No.
Send a CD to a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like Sonic Youth.
Oh, Sonic Youth, right. Because the one guy from Sonic Youth has his own label, Smells Like Records, and he sends us their CDs all the time, Smells Like Records. Mm. Yet.
When the new Sonic Youth CD came out, the label wouldn't send it.
Yeah.
Like they can't do it.
Right.
They have to have a request from the label, and the label won't do it.
Yeah.
Well, I met a band a while ago. The label was selling them their CD for $5 a CD, so the band could sell it on the road for $10.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, that's just... And this poor band had, like, spent all the money, the extra money they had, to buy these CDs, and most of the shows they couldn't sell them. You know, people wanted to trade CDs with them. They couldn't do that.
Right.
You know, and it's just sad. It's very sad.
S. O. So. M. So L. A. S. Last. Night. I. W. I wrote. That R E C O record companies are
a dying breed. We should help them on their way out.
Our job should help them die quickly. And yes. Yeah. Your M U your music R E reminds me of H I P hip hop. the E N the energy. And the A N the anger. W H I which is why hip hop is T A R targeted.
Yeah, it's some of the only angry music, actually.
What?
When I think about it, it's true. It's some of the only angry music out there. Because punk rock has become... And a lot of, there's still an underground element to it, but the stuff you hear on the radio is so safe. And when I was a kid, it wasn't safe at all. It was the stuff that...
We... P... Have... The... We have the P... P-O... No,
the old...
The old
Maximum Rock.
We have the old Maximum Rock and Roll on Lover. It plays every week.
The old radio show?
Yeah, with Tim Yohannan and Ruth Schwartz. It's Dirk Dirksen is introing it. He's was the guy from the Mabuhay Gardens.
Oh, okay.
So when Tim Yohannan passed away, he knew he was passing, going on his way out. He had this big box, this crate of his old radio shows, and he asked Dirk if Dirk would take them and get them out there, but he didn't want it to be involved in money in any way.
Right.
He said, I just wanted to get out. And so when we started the radio station, we're still buddies with Dirk from the Mabuhay days. And so Frank hit him up for content, and he said, I got it. So every week, Dirk intros it and outros
that's awesome.
It. Yeah, it's really, it's so neat to hear these shows.
Yeah.
And... The B A the bands talk about the same kind of stuff. Yeah. This is like from the late 70s.
Yeah.
They're talking about this stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. S I sing more.
Okay. I just checked my tuning real quick.
Okay.
Actually, we'll call it a guitar solo.
Okay. F F L A M Flaming Flamingo. Flamingo.
Let's see.
Guitar. Flamingo guitar.
Yeah, I'll do a song called Everything to start up with.
Everything now! Moderation is a word that in my vocabulary I can't fight it, so I even got money to eat it, money to drink it, money to screw it, money to have it. It is everything, it is everything. Why I don't know why it doesn't matter. Wanting it now, eating it, eating it now. Wanting it now,
it's actually almost a cappella, except for a couple chords here and there.
Shotgun Revelations, open up the side of paper, cops and stare back at me, rest of my friends,
and compatriots behind me and drive down my fellow sufferers by the sufferers at the call of the rich and powerful. He promised in the hear cries we have the weak different mourning for the new millennium, never learning from our past mistakes. Knock, look out, the cops are standing at my door, harvesting time at the car home. Seeing the spark size of something at my door, even the first, final, and only shotgun revelation.
A little something about when they come to get you.
Ken. I cannot figure out why they have not C-O-M come for us. J. U. Just. H. E. L. Helms. Frank was one of the artists that was investigated by Jesse Helms in early 90s.
Wow.
As an obscene artist. And we found out because the performance space in New York that Frank had performed in called us and said, hey, guess what? I got a letter from the General Accounting, General Accounting, that they're investigating you. And and what we heard, and then we read about it in the New York Times. Nobody ever contacted us directly, through the whole thing. But we read that they ran it through a couple times. Jesse Helms had them do it once, and they didn't find anything, so he had them do it again.
Oh, man.
The B E, the best publicity. Yeah, I mean,
is
places
worth,
that
yeah.
wouldn't have booked Frank, booked him when he was investigated by Jesse Helms. F R O from F R O N front page and when we were in Chicago it was the front page on their like Bay Guardian type paper.
Oh, wow.
Wanted new
art barbarians.
It was Frank and Karen Finley and Annie Sprinkle.
Wow.
Pictures of each of them, and for Frank was for encouraging adults to play erotically with each other. Touch each other.
Oh my God.
But not in S San Francisco. You never would have known it happened. No, no press at all about it.
That's wild.
Yeah. S. So get A. R. R. Get arrested.
I'll pass. I have a friend who was arrested in San Francisco 2 years ago for a DUI. Police took him. Halfway up the elevator, they stopped the elevator, beat the shit out of him. They put him in his jail cell, pulled him back in there an hour later, beat him up again. The next day, he's with his public defender in court, and he said, I'm going to tell the judge, I'm going to charge them with police brutality. He said, if you do that, you will have an accident tonight, and you will be dead. He said, there is no police brutality. So, I mean, I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to take the chance. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, in the mission, there's actually businesses who pay the cops every month to leave them alone. You know, I mean, Everybody knows you can buy heroin in front of the police station at 16th and Mission. You know, I mean, something's not quite right with this picture. I saw the police chief of New Orleans on TV a little while ago. They were talking to him, and he had called the FBI in to investigate his police force. And he said on TV publicly, he said, if you get pulled over in New Orleans by a cop, do not get out of your car. Drive directly to the nearest police station before you leave your car. It is not safe to get pulled over. You know, they just disbanded the drug squads in L.A., the police, the narcotics, because they've become worse than the gangs. You know, it's...
And you don't hear about any of that on the news, on the mainstream news.
No. Actually, no. Cable's been good for some of this. Some of the History Channel, some of the other stations actually air some of the stuff about what's going on. I forget, A&E actually has exposés on some of the stuff occasionally that are quite good, which is surprising because you wouldn't expect it.
Yeah.
I don't even know how they get away with it, actually.
L-U. Lover. Yeah, I mean, that's like a lot of what we do, is we have videotapes of things and audio stuff. A lot. That's a lot of what we do. A lot of what we do.
Yeah.
And it is be you building. Yeah, it's definitely building. We keep more and more people are finding out that they can do their thing on Lover and you know, they can do whatever.
That's cool.
And it's cool, yeah. Yeah.
That's like 104.1 FM, the free radio.
Yes, we're getting a lot of those people.
Yeah, I actually, one of the times when I got a death threat, I actually went up there and played it live on the air. So that everybody, because these people are so stupid, they leave it on my answering machine. Right. So I was like, if anybody recognizes these voices, you know, give us a call, let us know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, and if you had any real balls, you'd come right down to the station and talk to us. You know, it's crazy.
We have a lot of that there DJs on Lover. Yeah, we have Gerald Smith from Slave Revolt Radio and Radical Perspectives. He does both of his shows here. Bill Mandel from the old KPFA. He got booted from KPFA. He's like 82 or something. And he was one of the first ones that got booted for speaking out, but he's one of he's like too much trouble.
I forget there was a DJ on there who, when I played a show and he heard me do the Law song, and he took that for his radio show there the next day for KPFA. He's like, they need to hear this. You know?
Uh-huh.
So when I was on Stanford Radio, I forgot. They, you know, sometimes the radio stations are like, it's really important because we're being watched so closely that you can't say fuck and you can't say this and that. And I was halfway through the song, I went, oh. I just say fuck on the station. What do I say? So I was like, FCC the law, you know? I was like, I had to come up with something quick.
Is always what happens to us. We're on KPFA. Because, like, we've been, one of our DJs, Barb Golden, has been a DJ on KPFA for, you know, 20 years or something. But anyway, Frank's like a guest once or twice a year on her show.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting to watch. When we first started, you could say anything, you could do anything.
Yeah.
And then it's slowly gotten to where most of what Frank writes we can't read on there because of that.
Yeah.
But what happens is he'll try to figure something out that will be okay. And then I'll be like halfway through the reading and there's that word. Yeah. And I always like don't want to change Frank's words.
You gotta go, beep.
I end up saying them, you know, because
it always seems okay. Yeah, some of the stations I've been on are really paranoid.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. I mean, You know, there's more violence on TV in the evening than these words cause. And, you know, if people were educated, it wouldn't matter anyway.
L. E. G. Legal. Legally. You can say them on the radio after, what is it, 10 p.m.? But that's the whole thing of the intimidation. They're like afraid. It's like, you know, that if they do, they have to deal with the law and that the law won't be friendly to them because they're after KPFA and that kind of thing. So they just censor themselves.
Well, I mean, you don't know what the law is going to do because they don't know the law. I mean, I have a cousin who's a union organizer, and there was trouble at one of the supermarkets, and he went down there to represent the worker who was having the dispute, and the store manager said, "You need to leave or I'm calling the police." He said, "Well, under section such and such of the labor code, I have a right to be here to settle this dispute between you and the employee. So I'd like to proceed with this." And he said, "Okay, I'm calling the cops." The cop showed up, who was also, cops are in unions, they forget that. And the cop just, you know, and again he said, "Well, as a section such and such of the labor code, I have a right to be here." The cop said, "I don't care." He said, "If you stay here, I'm arresting you. So why don't you just leave on your own?"
Right.
I mean, they don't know. Right. The problem is if the cops knew the laws and actually respected themselves, it'd be one thing, but they don't.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what's... Right. You know, I work in downtown San Francisco, and it's like I've almost been towed a couple times by meter maids who don't know what the laws are governing the cars that are parked in certain spaces. And that's not a very hard job to do. There's only about 7 or 8 variables to choose from, you know, and it's like, and it's not, you know, it's not quite rocket science. So.
W. E. Well. A. If, if the P O S T the post O F F
post
office R don't know F what F R A X F R A C fractions. Oh God, right. I don't even remember what that. Yeah, right. I don't even exactly remember that. Like I.
They didn't know what like a half ounce was.
I used to call the I used to call the post office a lot because we do a lot of mail order, and it was something I needed to know. How much the postage was for this amount, and I gave a fraction, and they didn't know what it was. They really didn't know what it was. And even when I explained it, they didn't get it.
That's kind of funny how we just keep discussing the country's two main problems, ignorance and greed.
Yes. What do you what do you expect from the meter maids if the post office doesn't even know fractions?
Good point.
The person in charge of giving rates. Right. P. Play. Play more music.
I can do that.
All right. Let's see.
This one's called March 16th, 1968, and, it's one that a friend of mine wrote on that day, which is exactly 9 months before my birthday, so. Broke a string. Take a second here.
Ah, no.
It's only yet begun.
Technical difficulties. Came prepared, though. He has two guitars. Part of string.
I was a Boy Scout for a week once, and I learned how to smoke and to be prepared. Luckily, the only thing that I've kept on is the prepared part.
S U N D Sunday night R S E sex sexy on lover. Are you promoting the upcoming shows while we're dealing with the broken string? Dr. Susie Block starts at 11 p.m. It's a video program. And that's very sexy. What's her subject tonight? We don't know.
Back to the horny housewife.
Horny housewife, we think. And then following that is Playing with Passion, where Frank pulls out some erotic footage that we've acquired over the year, people that would come here and try on costumes, play, etc. And that runs for 3 hours from 12 to 3 a.m. So don't touch that key. And of course, E, and of course, Eric. To start the sexy off is all S E S W is all sweaty. One in on that note. T, take it away. S. So, where is the P A Y O payola C? Where's the payola CD? He's wondering if we get a CD to play on Lover. One of your CDs.
You know, I don't have any with me tonight, but I'll get you some.
Yeah. Why?
Actually, honestly, my new CD, My last one was kind of a DIY thing. Some friends put up some money and helped me put it out. And I tried that whole thing, and it just cost way too damn much money to do it yourself. And what I'm doing with this one is I'm burning each one by hand.
Yeah.
And just distributing it that way because...
Yes. Yes.
And unfortunately, I gave away my last one last night at a beach party, so...
We, us too, that's what we're doing too. We just put out... Oh, you want to show them our CD? Mikey's going to get it. We just put out our first CD, and that's cool. Exactly what we're doing. We just burn them.
It's great to be able to do that.
Yeah. I mean,
because it's expensive to just keep cranking them out. And,
That's really the way we do everything. We do videotapes, and that's what we do. We make copies ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it used to be when we'd have to go to a place and make copies, we had to charge $30 a tape.
Oh, I know. It's outrageous.
So now we can charge $15 a tape.
Yeah. Dying to sex. That's cool.
S E E C the C. Oh, look at the CD inside.
This is great.
I C H A C H A L L challenge anyone any M A major label to M make a better CD. A. B. E. A better. P. A. C. Package. And a better package.
Yeah.
We don't have, we don't need money. We don't need you. We don't need you. Major record labels. What is your L.A. last song? Is this going to be the... Oh, you're looking at the time. Okay, yeah, so do one more song.
I'll do a song called Movements. And this one's about... the primary movements I talk about in the song is the American Indian Movement, the Black Panther Party, and the Industrial Workers of the World. And one of the things I noticed each one had in common was it was about getting people... clearing up their minds and getting them off the drugs and everything so they could take action in their lives. And each time the government came in with guns and more drugs and tried to kill as many as possible. And so it's kind of about changing people's perspective on... There's so many, especially like the punks today and stuff, it's like all about getting fucked up. And they spend so much time getting fucked up that they're not doing anything to fight anyone. And it's about... If you just have a movement that's serious, and it's a serious threat, it's usually because you're clear here and you're clear here. So that's what this one's called.
Moving toss and a scream, bending movement, tearing head, landing beaches, quell smoke air, and... government physical hunger oppressive beats that make the kids. If the heart wants it die, blue gems fall slip away.
You and John the Baker should do a D O duo double bill. Should do a double bill. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. R-U-P playing anywhere that you want to plug?
Well, September 2nd, it's going to be part of the Oakland Gay Pride. I don't know where it is. A small club down by the docks is where I'm putting on the first show. And I'll be playing that, and then I'll be playing...
Yes.
September 7th at a place called the Quarter Note in San Jose, I believe.
Are you gay?
Oh, yeah.
Is not everyone?
I hope so. I think we should all be very happy.
A gay P punk. You like that?
One of the nicest reviews I ever got was from a magazine in France who said, is this a gay acoustic, or is this really an American? Yes, a gay acoustic poet. And I was like, wow, they insulted Americans. And they I was like, only the French could give a compliment like that. Like, that's so beautiful.
How can they get your CD?
Well, the only thing that people can do right now is just get my music for free off mp3.com. Mm-hmm. Also mp3 France. Like, I don't know enough about computers to even know how it works. But I think as you're listening to it, you can record the songs, I'm assuming.
You can download them and burn your own CD.
Yeah, I mean, that's really... Yeah. My stuff's available for free in that context.
Yeah, that's great.
So.
That we just did. Yeah. Oh, no, we just...
Drop lift?
Oh, the drop lift thing? Yeah, we got this thing. It's a movement or a bunch of people calling themselves Droplift.
Uh-huh.
And it's about the sound sampling.
Yeah.
That they the fact that they feel like the law is in their favor, yet none of the sampling artists can afford to take on when people come at them and say that they can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
So... And they can't even get people to burn their CDs. It's the same kind of thing that happened with you. And so they came up with this idea, Droplift. So they put together like 29 samples on a CD. And all around the world, people, you know, had a bunch of these CDs in their coats or whatever and went into record stores and strategically put them in bins with like top 40s and pop stuff. And the thinking is that somebody's going to find it and they're going to bring it up to the counter and they're like, well, we don't have this, you know, in our computer, but of course they're going to want to sell it. You know, they're going to want to make the sale. So they'll sell it and there'll be a way to educate people about what's going on with this sound sampling stuff. So what you can do You can go to their website and download the entire CD, and you can download the cover art and make your own CD. Wow. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then we're going to play it all the time.
Well, you know, that's actually most bands on, who actually get on major labels, where they make most of their money is actually touring. You know, so I mean, they're not even really making much money off their album sales.
Yes.
So.
Do you know A about D U Dude, our free distro service?
No, I don't.
Well, we offer this service where we'll distribute in the Bay Area CDs, and we do zines and whatever. Cool. And all you have to do is give us, well, Corey and Alexia are the ones that actually do the stuff. You give us so many copies of a CD, and they bring it around to places, and they keep all the records, and then places either take them on consignment or sell them outright. And then we don't take any money for doing it, so you just kind of get whatever we get.
That's very cool.
And for people that are out of town, they ask for money for postage, like however much it costs to send you back what doesn't sell. But that's, other than that, it's all free. So if you wanted to use that, that's available to you.
That'd be great, yeah.
And, you know, it's like one of the past guests, the Slow Poisoners, the one guy did a comic thing, and Jude carries that. And he's written a couple emails saying two different people have come up to him and said they got his comic book from a store that we got it into.
Wow.
So, it's, you know, it's getting the stuff out there.
Yeah, actually, I should mention something extremely cool that happened the other day to me. Is, I was walking down in downtown San Francisco the other day, and a van came pulling up, and this guy, I was wearing one of my t-shirts, and this guy shouted, "Where'd you get that shirt from?" And, you know, kind of like, is this person cool or not? You know, it was like, and it was like, I mean, considering some of the things that I've had, I was like, okay, he seems cool enough, you know, I was like, well, that's me. And he's like, holy shit, dude, I've got your CD, it fucking rocks. It was like, it was just like, I mean, sometimes that's the coolest things happen out of, like, when you least expect it.
Yeah, that's
and,
neat.
I mean, I made my whole day to have somebody actually, like, pull over on the side of the road. And be like, so.
That is S-U success.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It's nice.
Okay, so I guess we're wrapping up this Shaman's Den with Eric Kaur. Go to the MP3 site and get his music. And we'll be archiving this show. So if you miss part of it or you want to tell people about it, just keep an eye on the Lover page. It will be under the Shaman's Den archive. And I listen to the MP3 show, because we'll be playing Eric's music on that every week. Until we get a CD. you. And
I'll get you both CDs.
until he gets his shit together to get us a CD.
Well, that could take a lifetime. I wouldn't wait that long.
I listen to the MP3 show for a while then. Okay, so your player is going to stop, and you have to hit play again. Yes? No? Oh, no. Why? Who? Who is on next week? Oh, Denise Demise June from the old Mabuhay days. Now, let's see. She was a DJ on KUSF back in the days, the late 70s. And she's going to be on here talking about that and whoever, whatever else she's into right now. That's Denise Demise June. Okay, now your play is going to stop, and you have to hit play again. And don't forget, so there's music coming up for the next hour, and then don't forget Dr. Susie Block and Playing with Passion for the rest of the night. Bye-bye.